California and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Kimmy Lee of ProCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, you'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Rooters and Rootworkers, Dr. E of ConjureDoctor.com in Los Angeles, California. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening. But if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, Miss Tammy Lee. I hope
Hi.
You're having as beautiful a time out there in Florida as we are here. We're having a midwinter sun fest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, how are things out in Triple Crown Conjure Land?
I know that TCC can get it sometimes. They're doing just great. We've actually had a whole lot of rainy weather, so finally we did have a burst of sunshine actually today, and blessed to have that. And actually working hard, tying up some things for some folks to help them out, and. With some court case work, so I've had a lot of hard work to do lately, but working hard at it. And, you know, I know that we don't like to talk about our work, but I'm enjoying it for a good cause. So just really looking forward to that. And thank you so much for asking, Ms. Kat.
Yeah, court case work. That's an interesting. We'll have to have you on one day to talk about your court case work, because I know you do have some background in that kind of material. That's interesting. Well, let's see. What's new around here? We're working our way toward the next apprenticeship. This year we're doing one apprenticeship a month. The next one is coming up in March 18th to 22nd. And I just need to correct myself because I announced it wrong. I don't know if I announced it wrong on the radio show. I know I announced it wrong on Facebook. It is the week one apprenticeship, and I had said some other week, which I'm not going to repeat. It is the week one apprenticeship, the one where we're going to go out in the back lot here and collect herbs and dehydrate and dry them and learn about candles. So that is coming up in March. And, well, let's see. How are you doing, Ali?
Oh, I'm doing lovely. Just some brief announcements on my end, too. I have launched the House of Kimbanda, which is a spiritualist church that has been online now with Missionary Independent Spiritualist Church. So everyone should go check that out. It's a very user-friendly page. You can subscribe, share, tweet, whatever. And if you're looking for information about Kimbanda, about the Afro-Brazilian traditions, about Exu, Pomba Gira, and the work we do there, definitely check it out. It's got a running blog. It's got really great information pages. So go to houseofkimbanda.org and .com will work as well. And I look forward to seeing everyone there. And then another little announcement is tomorrow I will be on Candelo's Corner for anyone who's interested in. Candelo's a friend of the show, and he's regularly in the chat. So you guys can stop by if you're interested to learn a little bit more about House of Kimbanda, as well as my Santisma Muerte book, I will be talking about both of them tomorrow, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Candelo's Corner.
Well, wonderful. And a big shout-out to Candelo because he has been a faithful supporter of our show, and he's
had
many of our people have been guests on his show, and he specializes in talking about the African diasporic religions. He's kind of a counterpart to this show, and he's a great guy, really nice person, so have fun with him.
I will do.
Yeah. Well, he's something else. He's good. And congratulations on having your church added to the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church denomination.
I am happy to be part of the family.
Yeah. So we've been revising all of that. We've officially revised our denominations pages. We've got Miss Michael's church listed finally, which we overlooked doing by mistake, the Aunt Caroline Dye Memorial Chapel. And of course, Dr. E's church, which brings us to who is our guest today, is Dr.
E. Welcome, Dr. E.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, guys. It's always a pleasure to be here with you guys. And congratulations to you, Conjurman Ali, on the start of your Kimbanda church. I will happily add that to our denomination page, which I have not yet done, but I will get it up there for you.
Thank you, my brother.
Definitely support your efforts there to bring a voice of legitimacy and clarity to Kimbanda in a world full of appropriation. So very glad to hear it.
Oh, so true. Thank you.
And before we get to our panel discussion, I see that Papa Newt is in the chat room, and I just wanted to give him a little hello, Papa Newt. He's agreed to do some work on a very important webpage of ours at Lucky Mojo that has been around since 1999. It's been online, and it's called hoodooataglance.html. And it's been sitting there, and some people know about it and some people don't, but Papa Newt is going to be working on making that page all linked in instead of just a little flat list of things that you'll be able to actually read more about the products. And Hoodoo at a Glance answers everybody's question about my issue is blah, 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 which herbs, which spiritual supplies. And that was a page that was created by a friend of ours, a student named Reeve Socratic, back in 1999, gave it to me as a gift. And I'll tell you, I'm very grateful to Papa Newt for coming on board and helping us with this project. And he says he's already looking through the code and getting everything organized. And I know he is very organized because Papa Newt is one of the guys in chat who always puts down the URLs for everything. So I know he's got one of them snap minds. He knows the URLs. That means he can do the coding really well.
So, well, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And a little shout out to a couple of other people. And, you know, Aida is in chat, Cast, Dr. Hobb. I just see a bunch of people, Psychic Veronica, just people that we know that are always around. So that's just nice to see y'all.
Welcome to all of our friends.
Yeah. Yes, welcome.
All righty. Well, today's panel discussion is going to be on the subject of reconciliation. And this was proposed by Dr. E.
Mm-hmm.
But I begged the privilege as the oldest and longest surviving person on this radio show to start off by talking about what is reconciliation. Before we get to reconciliation spells as a panel discussion, one of the first things that I learned as a young root worker is that a lot of people who want help and they come to a root worker for help don't know the difference between different things about getting someone back. They might ask for reconciliation when they really want reunion, or they might ask for reconciliation when they really want reconnection. So let's just examine what reconciliation really means. Reconciliation means to get back together again, usually after a difficulty, a fight, a separation that is unpleasant. To reconcile, you know, when you're doing bookkeeping, to reconcile your books is to make the one book and the other book have the same number at the end of the columns of numbers, right? That's reconciling your accounting. So to reconciling is to get people together again. But it isn't really the same as reconnection. Reconnection is, you know, that guy you went to high school with and you just loved him so much, and then he joined the Army and, you know, you moved to Washington, D.C., and then you got married and then you got divorced and now you found him on Facebook. That's reconnection. Okay, different kind of spell. There was no breakup. There was no nothing. I mean, you know, if there was, it was so long ago. Reunion is a thing where you were apart from somebody, again, maybe for a long time, maybe for a short time, but you know where they are. You just want to reunite with them. That's different than reconnection. Reconnection is, I got to find this person. They're far away or whatever. Reunion is, let's get back together. Reconciliation is, we had a fight. And then there are something else. And this is, there's no word for it that starts with re. I just call it foolishness. Okay? And foolishness... foolishness is when you're with some person who is evil-tempered, nasty, hits you, no good, cheating, hiding their money, you know, not taking
yours.
Care of, yeah, all of or any of the above, and you want things to get better, right? That's foolishness. That's not reconciliation, okay? And we don't do foolishness spells here at Lucky Mojo. We just don't.
Right.
Okay? Just saying, okay? So... So, having said all that and kind of defined it, let me turn this over to the guy who suggested this topic, which is Dr. E. So, take it away, Dr. E.
Well, many people know that reconciliation spells really are one of my specialties, and I'm one of the few people in air that does them. I mean, a lot of people shy away from them because they're complicated, because they take a lot of time and patience, and because there's that, like you mentioned, that the need to discern between, is this a reconciliation case or is this foolishness? And I'll be quite honest, there's a lot of people that don't want to be told that they are engaging in foolishness, even though that's exactly what they are doing. So one of the first things I tell my clients before they even bother working with me is that you must be apart no longer than 6 months. This is my particular guideline, and I've found with, you know, sort of a track record, that folks that have been apart for longer than 6 months, by then the love has cooled so much that it's like trying to, you know, start a fire in kindling that's wet and cold. You know what I mean? It's futile. That person has typically moved on. They may even be in another relationship. And that's a whole other level of foolishness. People who want to try to break up exes that are in new relationships and then do reconciliation work to get them back with you. And what I try to emphasize with my clients is that there has to be some boundaries on reconciliation work for your sanity and also for practicality's sake. So the 6 month mark is the one that I do. The other one is you have to be in communication with the target of your reconciliation work. If you're not talking and he says, I hate you, I never want to talk to you again, I'm blocking your number, I'm blocking you on Facebook, and if you contact me, I'll call the police on you, chances are that's probably not a good reconciliation case because this person
Absolutely.
Really
yes.
wants nothing to
yes.
do with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, too, is that there needs to be proximity. If your ex has moved to the other side of the planet, the chances of you reconciling with that person are very, very, very slim because there needs to be an in-person communication and contact and sharing of space. You know, texting in this modern age is not a replacement for talking voice-to-voice. Being present in someone's space, you get a whole other level of communication. You know, your body languages talk to one another. Pheromones take place between the two of you. There's all these levels of communication that happen in person that don't happen through electronic communication like email and texting. So that's why I insist the person has to be in communication with someone and preferably in-person communication. And you both need to be single. That's another thing. I personally don't do breakup work, especially in a reconciliation case. I just don't do it.
Okay.
Other people might, but I don't do it. I find it's futile or it's petty in one of the two situations. Now, that's my personal value judgment. Okay, I own that. But that's where I draw my boundaries when it comes to reconciliation work.
Okay. Well, you know, I have something to add to that. When I was young, I was talking to people about some of this stuff. And at the time, there was a real kind of a tendency for people to put ads in the paper, reunites lost lovers, 24 hours guaranteed. I think, you know, you'll still see those ads around to a certain extent. And, you know, Madame Teresa reunites lost lovers, 24 hours guaranteed. And I found out that you actually can reunite lost lovers in 24 hours guaranteed if they broke up less than 72 hours ago.
Yeah.
Right.
And there is a kind of a, you can do it. I mean, it's not even that hard of a root work task.
No.
While things are hot and in a disturbed condition. But if they've been apart for 15 years, that's not going to be reunited in 24 hours, obviously. So I was talking to a lady who specialized in this kind of work, and I asked her about it. And I also talked to a man who did some of this. That was not his specialty, but he did some. He makes mojos more than anything else. But he gave me a man's point of view. And the woman said to me this. She said, a man needs to have sex once a week, and at least. So if he's not having sex with you, excuse my language, that means he's either, what she said, he's either jacking off or he's seeing whores, okay? Or picking up people in a bar. She did not mention that. She just said he's either jacking off or seeing whores. So as long as, you know that, you have about a week to get a man back. That's what's her statement. I can get him back. I can get a man back in 24 hours if they've been separated less than a week. She goes, but after that, you know, he's already starting to look for somebody. She goes, you know, after that, you know, 3 months was her limit. She wouldn't do take a reconciliation case if more than 3 months had passed. Now, I talked to this man, and he said something very similar but different. He said, women get their period once a month. He goes, if she's had her period, her blood is out of her, you're gone. So I can't guarantee to a man that after a month, he goes, that woman has had her change of the moon, and she has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what he meant also was that many women, not all, many women do seek sex slightly less frequently than men. And so they were these two people who knew each other, but not very well. I mean, they both were in the East Bay, but they didn't consult with one another to give me these two things. But these were long-time workers. These were older people who'd done this kind of work for a long time. So I started off taking that as a rule. I would take a reconciliation case to get a woman back to a man if less than a month had gone by, and I'd take a reconciliation case to get a man back to a woman if less than a week had gone by, and I saw then why she began to stretch it to 3 months, because men would accept a temporary sexual substitute, whereas women would not. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I saw it, and I have found, just speaking as a run worker to another, that has been useful for me. Now, of course, they will lie. The customers, the clients will lie. And they will say, oh, we had a big fight, and I just need Bobby back. But that's when you find out that Bobby's got a restraining order on her. And, you know, you don't find it out until you're halfway into it, and they've paid you for it. I mean, this customers will lie about this. And so as a root worker, and I tell this to anyone who's listening here in the chat room and in the radio who wants to be a professional, you've got to ask those questions. It may not make you look psychic to ask the hard questions. We all want to be psychic, right? We want to go, I know all, I see all. No, you got to say, when was the last time you saw him? When was the last time you had sex? When was the argument? Right?
Yeah.
So those may be three different dates.
It's so important to be honest with your root worker, because if you're not, you're actually crippling your own chances. Oh, great, you've manipulated your root worker into taking on your case, or saying or thinking that they're only working on a week-old case when it's actually a year-old case. You actually have no contact with the person. But in the process, you're actually hurting yourself, because the root worker, there's different methods that are used, like you mentioned before, with reconciliation and reconnection. If the way I do reconciliation work, now I do it a little differently than what was mentioned here, I will take on cases that are, my max is a year, so it is a little longer. I will also take on cases where the one person has moved on to another. I know Dr. E says it's a bit petty, but personally I find that people do make mistakes. People often will find temporary love. If I find it justified, I will break up a couple and restore the what I consider the original relationship. Now, for me, here's the big thing. If it's a reconciliation case, that means there was a fight, there's a brief window, or there's anger. That anger can be sweetened. Tension, people don't realize this, but tension can actually turn sexual. You know, and so that we can use that as root workers, where we turn that tension from anger into desire. That's completely different from, I haven't spoken to this man for 8 months, or this girl for 8 months, at which point those same spells are not going to do the same thing. Because
right.
the anger's already cooled off. What's needed, I'm sitting there cooling this guy off, going, no, 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 don't be angry with her, come back to her. But he's already cooled off. He's moved on. At 8 months, what I need to be doing is stroking the flames of passion again, rekindling
exactly.
the thoughts. So this is why it's so essential. We're not just saying this, you know, for the heck of it. It's so essential to be honest. This is when we fought. This is how long it's been since we've talked. Now, I will also take on cases where you're not in communication, but I agree with Dr. E 100% in that if you are in contact, if there is some communication still there, if there is face-to-face time, it is so much easier. My formula, and I won't reveal all of my little secrets here, but the general way that I work reconciliation is one part seduction and one part healing. You have to restore the relationship, mend the rift, and that's why we work with things like balms of Gilead, violet leaves, rose petals, which are aimed at kind of restoring that romance, kind of cooling off the hurt heart, and then including that element of seduction, because they have to be reminded why they were attracted to you in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which leads me to the next topic. This has kind of turned into root worker's perspective on reconciliation. If a root worker tells you to back off, calm down, and relax, please do so.
Do it. Oh,
do not
God.
Call
please
your
do, yeah,
do not call your target a million times in one day and then flip out at them, you know, when they go and see, you know, you finally get the two of them together. Nothing will frustrate your root worker more than
right.
you get the two of them together, like, okay, they've got a lunch date, great, you're lighting your candles. You show up and you go, why aren't we back together? He gives you some lame excuse and you flip out at him. Well, great, you've just started another fight.
Yes.
So follow instructions, remain calm, remain relaxed, because if you're in a relaxed state, you're confident, and that is sexy. If you're freaking out and you're anxious, that is not attractive.
Right.
That is so true. I got to say
so
one other
important.
Thing. If your root worker says the opposite, which is call now, do that too. In other words,
yes.
don't try to second guess, because many times the kind of work that's being done in some cases, balm of Gilead, soothing, there was a fight, we're going to soothe things
yeah.
down, and then we're going to set a date, they're going to see each other, and then we're going to heat things up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you need to kind of be in tandem with your root worker if they
Very
have
true.
This thing to be done. Another thing I'd like to just add is that so many people think lighting one candle is going to get someone to come back. And that's not
mm-hmm.
always the case. You need, in a reconciliation, that's a serious matter. That's life-changing. Whether you're going to be with that person or not, that is life-changing. You really do need a reading. I mean, I'm just saying that you need perspective on this that some other
mm-hmm.
diviner or seer can give you, because this is all about, you know, we don't always see clearly when it's our own life. And one other thing, too, which is that some people, instead of a candle, they say, well, I want to have a reconciliation, so I did a honey jar. Well, or a sugar jar, right? That's good if unsweetness was the cause of the problem. But
right.
what if the cause of the problem was something else? Then that honey jar may not be the right thing. So there is no one answer. It's not just a candle and a honey jar, or a candle on top of a honey jar. That is not the universal panacea that many people think it is. For instance, if it was just one of those hot-headed fights and he's walked out the door, you just may want to just do rolling socks. You know,
yes.
roll the socks back. That may work better than going through a lot of more
right.
mystical type things, because strike while the iron is hot, just get them right back. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. And, you know, there's the other thing, too, is, you know, one of the challenges of reconciliation work is you're dealing with people's wounded emotions and egos and pride.
Yep.
And, you know, depending on the person, you know, someone of, let's say, like a Capricorn or a Taurus is going to be much more stubborn about their pride, and it's going to be much more unwilling to go back and maybe even admit they were wrong or reevaluate.
Oh, brother,
like,
you're so
screw
true.
It, I moved
mm-hmm.
on.
That's
Whereas
true.
Somebody who has this deep emotional bond, like a Scorpio or a Cancer, is going to be like, but I love him, but I miss him, but I want him back, you know, and the rest of us are just like, screw you, I've moved on. So it's there's that to keep in mind. So you have to, like, sometimes you have to heal emotions, soften pride, soften
yes.
stubbornness, and these are all different approaches, you know, these are
completely
mm-hmm. different approaches. You know, when I like to soften someone's pride or something like that, that's where I'm going to do things like proxy baths.
that include mm-hmm. things like love uncrossing, like let go of the resentment, let go of the anger, let go of the things that you're holding against the other person. You know, screaming for something like that isn't going to work. It's just going to piss them off. Okay, so I'm just like, well, let's bring down the wall. Water dissolves all things, you know, so let's take sort of a bathing approach to them, you know, where if it was just cooling off, you know, the sex just kind of died and we grew apart, right? That's mm-hmm. where we want to stoke that fire and do things like a fire of love, flame of love or something like that that's got Damiana in it and some Southern mm-hmm. Dawn and things to cook up the passion. We may mm-hmm. even start doing some compelling or coercive sex magic to really make that person crave to have that person back. And that's where I like to do things like remember how good it felt to have sex with her, how natural a fit it was when you were with her, how beautiful and how nobody measures up to that. You know, that's where I like to sort of work these kinds of things into that person, maybe even with a red skull candle where I've got some of the more commanding coercive, you lust for this person, you can't wait to have them back. That's a totally different approach, you know. If they
that's
were a shooter, if they were a shooter that were just running around screwing everybody in the neighborhood, that's where you may want to do a tying up of their nature so that they can't have sex with anybody else except for your client. And they come back for them, you know? So it's all different approaches that people need to remember. It's not a one-job fixes-it-all and
that's
get
so
it all
true.
Done. And the other flip side of that is don't go to 14 different root workers and light 27 setting of lights at the same time because then you start to muddy the pot. You know, that's the other thing. You start to muddy the waters and have conflicting messages being sent, and then you get these people that have magicked themselves into a corner.
Yeah. Well, that is a real problem, to run from worker to worker. We see that a lot. And there is no disappointment like the disappointed reconciliation person where the expiration date has passed, but they go to the next person and throw their $100, $200, $300, and then they go to the next one and do it again, and they do it again. And eventually they'll end up people taking cases that they shouldn't have been taking. Another thing I say to anybody who is a root worker listening to this is ask. Just ask, have you been to another root worker about this case?
Yes.
Because sometimes we, you know, it's like scar tissue. We can't just be working on top of another case, on top of another. You know what I mean? It just doesn't work. And you can try for a new approach, but it's been done, you know, and the person has said no, and then we get to be the one who gets, you know, to get them to say no, you know, again, we hear it, we tell the person, no, I think I can't do this. They say finally, all you guys ripped me off. And they'll be angry. But the one reason they're angry is that that we did not investigate how fresh the case is, how fresh it is. And that does make a difference. One other thing I want to say about that, too, is that I don't like a reconciliation case. I don't know about you guys, but I don't like a reconciliation case where the person tells me they have no photo left. They have no, maybe they don't have hair.
Yes.
Maybe they don't have foot track dirt. But if they say, oh, no, there are no photos of us. And I say, why? I always ask, why? Did you were not together enough to get photos in the first place? He was some kind of weird criminal who wouldn't let his photo be taken because he was wanted by the FBI. You got so freaking mad you burned all the photos.
Yes,
Now you know, think. Right. Think.
Those are all
worker,
very important, yes.
Or I moved six times and he's gotten married and I threw out the photos the last time I moved. Now they're not telling, you know, they're saying I need to reconcile with this guy, but they don't really even have a connection anymore. So always ask for, I mean, in this modern day and age, a photo. If they don't have a photo. Now, if they have a photo of the guy and they have a photo of themselves, they ask the next question. Can I have a photo of the two of you together? Oh, no, there's no photos of the two of us together.
Why?
Yes.
Why? And that is so important to root workers who take this kind of work on. They need to get underneath these weaselly situations in which the client is hopeful and is willing to throw money at the problem, but really doesn't have the cosmic goods, to get it done. So, and I know it's just, and that's why some people say, I never take reconciliation cases, but they should. They should just learn to investigate their clients a little better.
Right.
Because reconciliation can succeed with the right case, you know.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, very true.
And
very true.
You know, be patient. Reconciliation work is slow and steady wins the race. Set your candle. 2 weeks later, do another spell. 3 weeks later, you know, it's like that, little by little by little by little. Don't do one candle and then call back in 2 weeks and say, nothing has happened. You know, you have to heal pain. You have
You're
to
rebuilding
open
a bridge.
People's minds and hearts. You're rebuilding a bridge after you burned it down.
Yep.
You know, it takes time.
Yep.
So patience is key. And again, going back to what Conjurman Ali said, you can't be one of these people that allows your worry and your anxiety to taint the very work that your root worker is trying to do for you. You have to have faith, say your prayers, chill out, you know, and maybe do whatever baths or whatever things your root worker assigns you to do, and stay the course. And you'll have results.
Right. And I have one more thing to say, too, to those new root workers or those people wanting to get into root work or people who are not experienced with this kind of work. Don't lie to your client. We talked about clients being less than honest. Don't lie to your clients. Don't say to your client, I don't do reconciliation work. Don't say to your client, reconciliation work is you know, just not something that suits me. If you feel that their case is no good, you tell them that. That's hard to do. It's really hard to say, I'm sorry, your case is toast, you know? I first learned about this from an old blues song in which it's one of those songs, I went to see a gypsy. I mean, that's a kind of a blues type line. It's about a woman who wants her man back, and she goes to see a gypsy. And it says, the line is, the gypsy smiled and looked me in the face. And she said, I'm sorry, honey, but another woman have done run and won this race. That is an honest root worker. That gypsy, who was probably a black gypsy, which means a black woman dressed as a gypsy would be dressed in the 1920s, not a gypsy like a Cinti or Rome person. But anyway, that woman told something that we all as root workers need to be able to do. Another woman have done run and won that race. You know, sorry, can't take your case. And that is that is really something that every root worker needs to learn. You know, you're not God. You're not God. You need to judge these things, you know.
Right. Honesty and integrity in everything you do.
Right, right.
For both client and root worker.
That's right. That's right. All righty. Well, let's see what we can do for some of these actual cases here. And so we're going to do some reading and root work for some people who have pre-signed up. Let's get Ms. Tammy Lee involved.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. Thank you so much. And a reminder to everyone that the Lucky Mojo Root Work Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, Dr. E, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or by telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client. Our first client is calling in from area code 801. From Utah. This is D1 Angel, who would like to also be referred to as just Angel. Angel, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Great. Well, welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that this is your first time calling in to the show and that you have not gone to any other members of AIR or any other reader regarding your situation, that you do actually do your own readings. And she writes, my boss's brother is trying to destroy our business, and my boss is blaming me for everything. I need to know how to get him to stop and leave us alone. Turning it back over to you.
All right. So this is not a call for a reading. So we just can all pile in here and come up with some good spell work. Okay, Angel. I'm going to ask just a couple of questions. The boss's brother is trying to destroy our business. Any reason that you know of? Just sheer cussedness, ineptness? When you say trying, is it deliberate?
Well, he probably jealousy. My boss, who's more like a business partner, we've started this company together, has been very successful in his life. His brother has not been. And so all we can really come up with is that the brother is jealous and he's trying to cause havoc. Now, beyond that, we don't know.
Okay. All righty. So what I'm going to recommend here, and your boss is aware of this? You said no, but your boss is blaming you for everything.
Yeah, the boss feels like I kind of opened the door. I did talk to his brother, and mm-hmm. The brother had approached me about bringing me clients for a business. I had turned him down. And so the concern my boss has for the blaming is that I'd opened that door, and his brother
You destroyed a delicately crafted balance between these two brothers, by opening that door. I understand,
yep.
And now you're responsible. And you didn't understand what adjustments.
And I had no idea what I was doing, of course.
Right, of course.
Right.
Okay. So here's what I'd like to recommend to you. Are you familiar with spell work? You know how to do some of this type of work?
Some. I've got a honey jar on my boss that I've been working for a while. Just to keep
good.
Him sweetening
anyway. A honey jar is good. Sugar jar is in some ways even more flexible because you can use the sugar in cooking or bring the sugar into the place where you work. And, do you all use sugar to sweeten your coffee and tea at work?
He doesn't drink coffee.
Okay.
So
you bring
in
cookies?
And it's an interesting thing because we both work from our respective homes.
Oh, okay. So you don't really actually see this person. Okay, gotcha.
I don't really see him in person except at my house. So.
Okay, I understand. All right. Well, then a honey jar is great. And then what I would recommend for the brother is kind of the converse of that, a freezer spell. So you can go to luckymojo.com/freezer.html, and you'll read a lot about the theory of freezer spells.
Mm-hmm.
But what you want to do is freeze this person out of your life. And it's a quiet way to work. It's not a hot or angry way to work. You're going to take something to represent this brother, and you're going to literally freeze it in the freezer. You can, for instance, one way to make a little thing is a little doll out of sticky rice. Freeze it in the freezer. Another way is literally to just take a piece of pork chop and cut out a little shape of a guy, right, and put it in the freezer. You can use, if it's his tongue that's the problem, you can use a piece of tongue or a whole tongue and put him in the freezer. You can use a piece of brown paper towel formed into the shape of a tongue, put his name in it, and put it in the freezer. You want to use, for this, nothing hot. You don't want him to get, overheated and angry, so no red peppers. But you're going to use things like salt and black pepper to keep him away. And you could also use alum, which is to
mm-hmm.
stop someone's mouth up, to stop him from gossiping.
Right.
Alum powder. You can take and wrap this. Let's say you just literally take a piece of beef. Just a piece of beef. And you're going to cut this into a little dolly shape, right? You're going to make a little doll out of beef, okay? Raw beef, okay? So I know this sounds a little bit strange, but that's one way to work. Now you're going to take, and you can take his name and put it on paper and write into it, shut up, and shove it into where his mouth is. You just take a knife and drive a little hole in that thing, right? And you can take a little alum and just sprinkle them all over with alum and salt. Just salt him down, alum and salt. Now you can take some string. You could take a piece of a spool of thread, like black thread, from a sewing notion store, and a small spool at that, and you're just going to wrap around this like the way spiders wrap up, you know what I'm saying? The way wasps wrap up dead spiders is what I mean. Just wrap around them, or the way spiders wrap up flies. You know, you just wrap around it till the thing is all wrapped up. And you've used all the thread on that spool, put him in the freezer, put him in some aluminum foil and put him in the freezer. That is to freeze him out of the situation. All right, let's hear what somebody else has to say.
Okay, I'll be happy to go. So how is the current relationship between you and your boss this very moment? How is he treating you?
It's a little strained, but it's still good. I mean, he's calling me, letting me know this is what's going on. He's letting me know that the brother is talking ill about me. So it's pretty open. It's pretty good.
Okay, good.
I just am concerned about the blaming thing, and I want to keep this relationship good.
Well, if you're still good with your boss, then things don't need to be as repaired as I thought they were. I think it's more about maintaining your position with your boss. So one of the things that I'm going to recommend you do is whenever you have papers that you have to hand in to your boss, you know, be it like contracts or files or anything you need to hand in to him, dust those files, dust the back of them with some Boss Fix powder and some attraction powder. Okay, now this is, it sounds a little interesting, but here's how it works. The Boss Fix powder will keep him on your side and at the same time make him do right by you and stay out of your business and not micromanage you. And the attraction powder will make him continue to find you an attractive and pleasant person to be around in the workplace. Okay. And the way you do this is you turn the documents face down on a table and you sprinkle the powders over them. And then you take your four fingers and you drag them through the powder in wavy lines toward you across that piece of paper. And as you do so, you call out the name of your boss and you say, you will continue to think fondly of me. You will continue to support my presence in the business. You will back me up on things and you will favor me over the opinion of your brother. And you will continue to do this. And as you touch this paper, my magic will affect you and you will continue to think well of me. Then just go ahead and shake the excess powder off the paper. Give it a little flick with your first finger to pop the excess powder off of it and then hand it in to him. And when he touches those papers, he'll be affected by your magic. You can also take those same powders and you can mix them half and half with local dirt and sprinkle them around the ground by your boss's driver's side door of his car so that if he gets in and out of a car, he treads through this and he tracks it into his car, tracks it into the office, and that way his path in life will be altered so that he will continually back you and support you as well as think favorably of you over his brother. Okay, so these are good ways to maintain that. Just remember when you sprinkle the powder that you want to sprinkle it as you are taking an odd number of steps going backward. So one step, three steps, five steps, something like that. And say his name. Let's say his name is John Doe. John Doe, as you tread through this powder, you will think favorably. You will favor my opinion over that of your brother. You will back me up in the workplace, and we will continue to have a good and healthy relationship. This is real simple, easy work that you can do. And I think, are you having any problems with coworkers in the workplace, like people talking about you and gossiping?
No, this business is mostly just me and my boss.
Okay,
so
great. All right.
There's no other coworkers to deal with.
Okay, great. That's good then. So that way there's not the rumor mill going and the, you know, the gossip mill that's just going to make the situation worse for you. Okay, I think that's what I would recommend from that part. I'm going to go ahead and transfer the discussion over to my associate, Conjurman Ali, and see what he can add it
to. Oh, very excellent suggestions so far. I love the working the different angles, working on the boss and working on the brother. I agree with Kat. The freezer jar spell is particularly good in this case. She recommended working with beef's tongue. For this particular case, some people aren't comfortable with working with beef's tongue. I've also used a lemon, which works quite well. And that's, you know, something that you can consider. What I do with a lemon is I will make a slit in it, not cut it halfway, but make a slit in it so that it's a mouth. And I baptize that as the mouth of a person. You are now the mouth of so-and-so. What I do to you will happen to, etc. Put his paper, his name in there, his photo, whatever you want to put in there, along with alum powders, with black pepper, salt. I also highly, highly recommend bitter aloes. In a situation like this, bitter aloes is really good at shutting up the mouth of people. And then tying that up with black thread and praying over it and putting that in the freezer. What I would do after the freezer work is I would keep this, whether you use a tongue, whether you use a lemon, in the freezer for a period of time to halt, put an immediate halt on this person's ability to talk against you. Okay? And then I also highly recommend reciting Psalm 36 over a situation like this, which is great for exposing liars and ending slander. Then, once you've managed to get this person to back off, get this person to stop speaking about you, remove that from the freezer and throw it into running water, into a river, and walk away without looking back. I highly recommend throwing it over your left shoulder and walk away so that it's carried out of your life, and you say, as this river runs and runs, may so-and-so may run out of my life and out of my business. The reason you want to do this is just shutting his mouth up may not be enough. No, off. He may take certain actions, you know, passive-aggressive things like that that will continue to impact the business. You want to make sure that after his tongue has been silenced, you want to get rid of him. Now, this isn't particularly, you're not trying to harm the guy, but you are saying, shut up and go away. And that's what's needed in this case.
Yes.
Those angles, shutting him up and making him go away, along with working on the bus, are excellent. There is a third element that is required, and that is protection work for yourself so that you may walk through this entire situation without any difficulty. And one of the best protection spells that I have used in slander situations, in gossip situations, in a situation where you need to be able to kind of maneuver, is you take slippery elm and you burn it to ash and you recite Psalm 36 and Psalm 91. And then you take the ash of the slippery elm. Now, you can actually add this to stop gossip incense powders and burn it that way. But you take the ash and then trace out a cross on your shoes. And what this does is it allows you to walk through life, walk through the business without any gossip slander sticking to you. Because slippery elm allows you to slip right through it. So what will happen is this guy will run his mouth, but the boss won't believe it because it won't stick to you as a person. And I think the combination of these three works is really all you need. You don't need anything too aggressive, nothing too particularly intense. Just three works. Get the boss on your side. Get this guy to shut up and walk away. And walk through this without it sticking to you, and your reputation will remain untarnished, okay?
Okay.
Yeah,
Just to be clear, the cross is on the bottom of the shoe, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I'm also going to give another psalm in here. I tend to like Psalm number 1, which is to remove from a company of persons the one person who is wrong. And just read it, you'll understand. Psalms 1 is good for removing the ungodly from the company.
Yep.
And yeah, there's a number of those that are very, very good. Okay, so we've given you some diverse ideas, and I'd love to hear what happens. I'm going to say one other thing about the boss. Get your photo taken with the boss. You work separate from him. Get together, meet someplace, and get a photo of the two of you together. If not, Photoshop it, you know, using Photoshop tools. But if you can, you need a photo of the two of you together, and I would keep that photo in a little frame on your desk or wherever your working area is if you're telecommuting, and touch it and talk to it continually during the day. You know, put a little boss fix oil around it, a little bit of look me over, a little bit of crown of success, you know, things like that. And then, you know, there he is. Let's say the boss's name is Joe Blow, and you got a picture of you and Joe Blow together, and you say, oh, Joe Blow, there we are together. Isn't that nice? Just kind of keep that thing going. But you need a photo of the two of you together to use that as a kind of a proxy for being together. Okay?
Okay.
All righty. Okay. Good luck to you, hon.
Thank you. Turn
it back over to Ms. Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. And support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic contra practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is going to be calling back in to us from area code 646 in New Jersey. This is Steele. Steele, are you there, caller?
Yes.
Great. Well, welcome back to the show, and I'm going to go ahead and update our hosts and let them know you have been back on the show, and you are calling back for an update. And she writes, after 20 years, I ran into and rekindled a romance with my high school boyfriend, my first love. Previous readings showed that he and I are and were meant to be something special, but for whatever reason, we went on our separate ways. He has since married, but admitted that he wishes that he had married me. I was reluctant to do the breakup work, but after my last on-air reading, where he texted me during the recommendation to do such work, we all on the call agreed that this is the way to go. Turning it back over to you.
All right. Well, now, Ollie, this one's for you.
There was one more line in my question.
I'm sorry,
and my question was just...
You're right. You're right. She writes, so now after doing the work, I beg your pardon, and always asking Spirit for permission to do this work, I'd like to know where things stand with this man. Thank you. Thank you so much, Steele. I appreciate it. Turn it back over to you again. Thank you.
All right, Steele. I have a couple questions before we dive right in. First, I think I remember your call. If I remember correctly, you were the client we mentioned, the flaming machete of breakup, right?
Yes.
Okay, I remember the case. Now, what work have you done since we recommended these situations?
I've done that work. I've done a vinegar mm-hmm. jar. I've done a lemon spell.
Mm-hmm.
And I did two doll babies I separated with a line of breakup powders and oils and just nasty mm-hmm. things, along with the
mm-hmm.
work that I do.
Mm-hmm. Can you lay down powders where they are, or you would you have access to their property?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Well, you did quite a bit of work. You don't, you know, more work doesn't necessarily mean more powerful. You just use the right work. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull three cards, and we're going to see if what you've done so far has been enough, if you need to wait, if you need to do more, or what basically the checkup in this situation is. The first card that we have here is the Eight of Wands. The Eight of Wands is a particularly good card when it comes to change. I often call these the arrows of love or the arrows of war, okay? And they are eight staffs flying across the countryside. In modern times, they're sometimes called communication or travel by air, so contact. And what this indicates is that the work that you've done has successfully, even though you're doing it from afar, you know, you're relying on doll babies and separating that with powders rather than actually going and laying down powders. You're working from afar, but your work is actually quite good. There's a very strong foundation for it. There's a solid basis for it, and you have been able to send the arrows of war to this particular marriage and cause some strife and some separation there. Not quite there yet. So what this tells us is you're hitting it, but it's not a card of success either. In terms of love, yes, you're also getting him to become more favorable to you, but the issue that really comes down to is this man himself, which we see in the next card. The next card is the King of Cups. The King of Cups shows us a rather rich, aristocratic man sitting on a throne, but his throne is out in the middle of the waters, and he has a goblet in his hand. There's a fish that's jumping out of the sea. This is a man who's inclined towards certain acts of emotion. He feels strongly for you. He feels like he should be with you. But it's also a man who does not have a very firm basis for action. This is a person who's not sitting on a throne on a nice rocky shoreline. He's sitting in the middle of the ocean, so he's tossed about by his very own emotions. He's tossed about by his indecision. We see a man who goes, yes, I want to be with Steele, but then goes, ah, oh, but I have this many years of marriage. So there is this indecision here. While you've managed to, you know, have some impact on him, there's still a great deal of hesitation, and so you have some work to do before he's ready to move on. You're going to need to aim your work more on getting him to decisively act, because what you're doing is not actually just breakup work. You're doing divorce work, which means that at some point, someone needs to initiate the divorce process. The final card we have is the King of Pentacles, which tells us that you do have a chance of being quite successful, but be aware that there is going to be a very strong financial component in this situation. The King of Pentacles shows us a very rich, wealthy, affluent monarch sitting on a throne surrounded by a luxuriant garden. He's wearing very beautiful robes, but underneath his robes he's got armor. This tells us that with hard work, you can build a strong foundation for your case. You can work upwards to, you know, overcoming this particular marriage and drawing this man to you. There is a chance of success here, but it's going to come gradually, it's going to come slowly, and it may take some time. You may not see very strong results till around end of summer. Furthermore, be aware that his financial considerations are also going to be a problem, so you're going to have to, you know, divorce requires some type of financial component. So be aware that that's going to play a very strong factor here, and you will need to address it. That's what I see in my cards. I'm going to turn this over to my colleagues and see what they see, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to ask a question about this. I know he texted you while we were reading for you last time. What is the level of communication between you and him now?
Oh, we talk every day.
You talk
mm-hmm.
every day. Having sex?
Yes.
Having sex on a regular basis?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, not that often, but.
Well, I mean, we're talking like more than once a month, more than once every 2 weeks.
Yes,
or?
Yes, yes.
Okay, all right.
You know, whenever he can get away, which is probably once every 2 weeks.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Okay, the reason I asked that question is I just want to make sure that we're, you know, you're making progress, obviously. But I'm seeing that they are fighting. I have the Five of Wands. That shows conflict. So. They are, there is difficulty between them, but the wands, Five of Wands is not enough necessarily to kill a marriage. It's stress and turmoil and conflict, but it's just people hitting each other with sticks. There's no swords
right.
coming out, nobody's throwing bombs, and nobody's walking away. So they may be involved in some sort of a tense struggle with one another, but it does not say to me that... that they are ready to break apart yet. The next card I have is the Ten of Pentacles. This is a card of money and land and children. Do they have children?
Yes.
Yeah, because this card has all those things. Plus, it has a couple of dogs, too. Do they have dogs?
Mm-hmm.
The dog, yes.
Okay. So here's the Stability card. This card usually favors a marriage. It's a card that shows that a... three generations of people, a couple of dogs, some homes. There's some shields and designs on the wall that indicate they even own more land. Or they just have. It's a card of money, and it says that there is a stability here that also may be a kind of a stasis point. That it may be difficult to break this thing up. You may need to consider what it is you want and make yourself have some sort of a timeline here, because. If all you can get is a part-time lover, there are plenty of women for whom that is fine. They'll be a part-time lover for someone for 40 years, and they're fine with it. So you need to kind of narrow in on what your goals are and what your timeline is. The third card is a good card, and this card, I don't know if this card came out last time, but if it didn't, it should have. It's a card called the Two of Cups. And this
wow.
shows that the two of you guys are very well mated to one another. The card is called Betrothal But Not Yet Marriage. And the woman offers her heart with both hands, but the man takes her cup, her heart, but he holds his back a little bit. He hasn't yet made it to the point of offering his cup. And there is going to be an exchange, we hope. In times to come, but there is right now. We need to work on communication and sexuality. The lady has red shoes. The man has a red wreath of roses, and there's a red lion with wings above them. It's all about the fantastic union that is possible through sexuality. I would recommend that you do some work about sealing him sexually to you so that he loses interest in her rather than just do the they should fight and break up routine. You've got to make the sex with you be so alluring. Okay, so let's turn this over to Dr. E.
Can I just throw in a little bit more information since it sort of came Ali said something about money being an issue. He's unemployed mm-hmm. right now between jobs, so that's a problem.
There you go.
Miss Pat, you said something about other homes and affluence and money. I think that's his main issue because he is quite successful and has, you know, a lot of financial rewards that he's mm-hmm. afraid to lose. So I think that's also part of it. So I don't know if you want to factor those things into the work that you would recommend.
Both the Ten of Pentacles and the King of Pentacles are both obviously, pentacles, they refer to stability. So it's about money, stability, that you're going to have to attack that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
May I suggest one thing is if when you do see him, dress some money and give him, you know, make sure that he touches some money that you've dressed, like offer to pay the bill at a restaurant and I'll put the change up in, you know, for the eyes, you know, give him to touch something or get him some money mm-hmm. to put in the parking meet or something like that. You want him to get him some money. And if you could dress that money with your pussy juice, so much the better. But, you know, we all hope for what we can do. All right, Dr. E, go ahead.
Why not?
Very good
okay.
recommendations. Yeah, one of the things I was going to say is, you know, when it comes to money situations in divorce, the financial impact that divorce has on men makes them very hesitant to divorce. And with the inclusion of children in the measure, you know, he's going to be up for child support, which is, you know, further complicates the issue. So you're going to have to continue to do work in order to outweigh the risk with the reward of being with you. Okay.
Yes.
And
yes.
So one of the things that Kat brought up here was the idea of tying his nature. Have you done any such work like that?
I didn't think I needed to because he claims that
you
he,
always
he
need
claims,
to, my dear.
No, he claims that he's not sleeping with his wife anymore and they haven't in years.
Okay. Well, regardless of that, this is one of those things like just because I'm driving 10 feet down the street doesn't mean I'm not going to put on my seatbelt. You know what I mean? You need to have a backup plan. So what you're going to do is the next time you do have a sexual tryst with him, you absolutely want to gather some of his semen up. And it's best if you do so where your own sexual fluids do not get tied up into the mix. So, I mean, forgive me for being a little blunt here, but if you could give him some type of oral pleasure and collect his semen that way, put it on a piece of toilet paper or tissue and save it, let it dry, and then you can use that to tie him up. And what I would recommend you do is you can actually tie a knot in it, and then you can do things like follow me, boy. I actually like to take it a little step further and put things like command and control, domination, things like that on the piece of tissue that's been tied up. And you can actually make it into a little mojo bag and carry it with you. And whenever you think of him, whenever you talk to him, you hold that mojo bag in your hand and you're just squeezing it. And in your mind, you're thinking, you only are sexually attracted to me. You can only perform sexually with me. Your dick doesn't get hard for anybody but me. And your wife is now spoiled. She's dirty and gross in your mind. You can't even think of having sex with her because it makes you physically ill. Okay? And to complement this work, you can actually, when you're having sex with him next time, okay, and you're actually in the right in the middle of the act, and he's getting to that point where he's about to climax, in your mind, I want you to imagine that you're boring deep into his thoughts and into his loins and into his heart, and thinking in your mind, I am spoiling every other pussy for you because mine is so sweet. Okay? And you're literally throwing sex magic into the work. It sounds funny, but it works, okay? You're throwing sex magic into the work you're doing. And when he climaxes, you think in your mind, you are mine. I own you. I own your sex. I own your body. And you can't be with anybody but me, okay? Because when you start addressing a man through sex magic, you have a leash around his neck, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's what you need to do. Now, in addition to that, there's another little spell that I thought of that would be really cool. If you can get your hands on a pair of balancing scales, you know, like the kind that Justice holds in her hand, right, little balancing scales?
Yeah.
Or you can do a doll baby spell where you have three doll babies, one for you, one for the wife, and one for him. And you put his doll baby in the middle up against the sort of like the pole that holds up the scales.
Uh-huh.
You put your doll baby on one side with sweetening things like rose and Damiana for passion, and maybe some, she could put some rock sugar inside of it or something, or a lodestone to call him. You could put in orange peel so that he thinks sweetly and thinks you're juicy and delicious. And then on her doll baby, you put it on the other side of the scale, and you fill it with nasty things. Things like vandal root so that she stinks and he doesn't want to be with her. Things like Spanish moss to entangle her up in her own nastiness. Bitter herbs, things like mullein or brown mustard seed to confuse her thoughts. Things just to make her unpleasant. You can even put red chili peppers in there so that she's an angry individual that he doesn't want to be around. Right. So you set this all up and you start with the scales balanced. And what you do is you start to add sugar on your side of the scale until the scales tip in your favor. And the whole time you're saying, I'm sweeter than her. I'm the love you were always meant to be with. I was the true love that you should have chosen. You made a simple mistake. That's okay. But now's your opportunity to come and be with the woman you were meant to be with. Leave that wretch. Leave that wench. She's disgusting and bitter and fiery-tempered and a horrible, horrible woman, but I'm sweet. I'm your refuge. I'm the one you want to be with. And once your side of the scale tips down, take his doll, put it with your doll on your side of the scale to tip the scales in your favor, okay? And then you can take her doll and throw it over your left shoulder into a river that runs out of town and say, just like this river washes us all out of town, so shall you be washed out of our lives once and for all, and may the divorce be finalized, and may I be with the man that I belong with. Okay, so these are some things that I could recommend for you to do. But you really want to tie up his nature. You absolutely want to get his sexual fluids, and you want to tie them up and have him. Have him in your pocket at all times, because that's how you want to own the man.
I'm gonna put up one other thing, too. In that pile of stuff that Ollie was recommending to put with her doll, just put some...
That was Dr. E, not I.
I'm sorry that Dr. E said... I'm sorry. That Dr. E said to put with her stuff, fish, and let it rot, okay?
Dried
rotten
fish.
Oh, no, I'm not going to say dried. I'm talking fresh fish and let it sit there for 5 to 10 days.
Oh, that's
a stink. I'm talking
stink. Okay.
Girl, you're doing some hard work here. You're breaking up a holy oath that they made. You know what I'm saying?
It's,
I feel awful.
Wait. If you feel awful about it, if you feel awful about it, it will not happen. Because, you know, so but I'm not saying that you have to do it. And that, you know, like I offered you an alternative here. I said you could be the mistress who's here for 40 years. You got to think about that. You got to think about it. But, you know, if you feel awful about it, well, you can also do a spell where you get her to find a new lover.
Yeah.
But someone
that's true.
Apparently who's, you know, that's an, you know, there's moving candle spells. You've seen pictures of them at our site where you drive her toward another lover.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, I feel bad.
You feel bad about
it? No, have conviction in your work.
I was going to say I feel bad, but with all my prayers, I always say, if this is the right course of action, then let this be. If not, let's put this away. So I feel bad
that
I don't.
So you're doing it justified work. That's good. That's fine.
Yeah,
I also want to set a timeline on it that makes you feel comfortable. You know, say to yourself, if in 3 years or in 2 years or in 1 year or in 10 years or whatever it's going to be, if he doesn't come to me, then I will just either be content to be his outside mistress and we'll have a lot of fun, or I will move on and find myself my own husband. And your choice is yours. Another thing that Ollie mentioned in the chat room was use some crucible of courage on him to get him to have enough courage to make the divorce.
It takes courage to take that first step, so that's very important.
But you know, it's up to you. And I do think, I mean, I feel this one has a chance of success if your willpower is strong.
Right.
And that's part of what it, okay. All righty. Well, good luck to you. Let's turn this over to...
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for calling. All right, let's turn this over to Ms. Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, it's Kat. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour from coast to coast and around the world is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. And call on during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you'd like to be on the show. If your call is selected, you will get a free consultation with the best workers in the field. Tune in at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time each and every Sunday here on Blog Talk Radio. We have about 23 minutes remaining in today's show. Our next client is calling back in from area code 323 from California. This is Sashi78. Sashi, are you there, caller?
Hello?
Hi, Sashi. Hi, welcome back to the show. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. I just informed our host that you are calling back in to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, but it's not about the previous situation. It's about something new, okay, and that you have not gone to any other readers or root workers regarding your previous situation, okay? And she writes, my child's father lives out of the country. He wants to come back to be with them. Will he come and will he succeed when he tries? Turning it back over to you.
Okay, I'm going to ask just a couple of questions. Is there a reason that he might not succeed? In other words, are there visa problems or something? Is that what you're asking about?
Yes. His paperwork is not in. It will be submitted, but maybe 6 to 8 months from now. But he wants to come back now.
I see. All righty. Okay. All right. Well, let's let Dr. E do the reading on this one to start.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and shuffle up my cards when I think about this situation. Would you be so kind as to just give me the father's first name just so I can help narrow in on him a little bit?
Sure. Let me spell it out for you. It's A-G-U-S-T-I-N.
Got it. Okay. All right. I'm going to go ahead and lay out three cards here and see what I can find out for you. All right, the first card that I get is the Six of Pentacles card. This shows a wealthy merchant walking amongst beggars, and he's holding scales in his hand, and he's giving out alms to the poor, but he's measuring them very carefully. It's not real generosity. It's almost token generosity, things that are given with one hand while the other one is held behind the back. This tells me that there will be some advance made, but not full success in him making it into this country by this card, mainly because he's not following the procedures and the laws. Okay, so this is a card that for me talks about delayed gratification, or enough to carry you through but not get exactly what he wants, right? The second card I get is the Fool card, and this shows a fool very dressed in a very elaborate, flouncy outfit, and he's looking up at the sky, and he's walking forward with a satchel over his shoulder, holding a white flower of purity, and he doesn't realize he's about to walk off a cliff. And at his foot, there's a little white dog barking and barking and barking and saying, "Hey, look out, you're about to jump off a cliff." This card tells me, don't be a fool. This individual is not looking at all of the consequences of his actions. He's just, I'm going to walk, I'm going to do what I need to do. But the thing is, he's not following the proper procedures. So there's a risk of the falling off of the cliff and things falling through. Now, the third card I have is the Three of Wands card. This shows another wealthy trader and merchant standing on a clifftop overlooking a trading channel, and ships are going back and forth through the trading channel. He's kind of watching and observing as things unfold, as shipments move to and fro. I see this as you, watching and waiting as ships move back and forth, but his ship has not come in yet. So if I look at these three cards, it tells me that he's not going to make it to see his children in the timeline he hopes for, mainly because of his own foolish actions of not filling out paperwork and following the law. Okay, that's what I see. Now I'm going to go ahead and hand it right over to my associates.
Okay. So, Ali, what do you see?
Just a quick question. Do you want this guy back, or do you not want this guy in the country?
Oh, no, I do.
Okay, just verifying here. What I've done is I've cast a geomantic chart, and I'm taking a look at this. I'm going to agree with Dr. E here. What we have here in the right witness, which tells us what's coming into this situation, is conjunctio. Conjunctio is the crossroads, indicating that there is indeed a desire to move forward. There is a desire to come back and to travel. However, it is a passive card, and it indicates that while the desire is there, the steps forward are not particularly strong. And we see that ultimately in the left witness, which is populace. Populace is a gathering, it's a crowd. It tells us that there's going to be issues with the legal system in order to get in. He's not following what's considered to be the law, what's considered to be, you know, the way forward, right? He's not conforming to what's required of him, because populace is about conformity. He's not conforming, and so as a result, he's left in a very passive state where the desire is there, but the ability is lacking. And that's confirmed with the judge, and the judge is, again, conjunctio, which is staying exactly where he is, eventually being able to move forward because the road is there, but not actually stepping forward at this point in time. So there are going to be delays. The delays are caused when we look at the actual house that I've cast. The projection of points reveals to us amiso. Amiso is loss. There's going to be a financial loss on his end. This is a bag that's being held upside down and coins are falling. There's going to be a financial hit that he's going to take with, I would say, probably in the next 1 to 2 months if he has not already done so. And that's going to delay his ability to travel, compounded with the legal aspect of it. And where I'm going to say I see a lot of delays for his ability to finally move and be with his children. You're not looking at seeing him for a few months at minimum. Okay?
All right. Well, with that having been said, I'm going to attempt to put some good ideas for root work that can, you know, try to ameliorate this issue, which is apparently still pretty difficult here. So, you know, and I know when there are paperwork things like this to fill out and legal requirements to be met, there are both offices that must be satisfied and people in those offices. In other words, there's some clerk somewhere, and that clerk has a title, and that title has to do with immigration or visas or passports or whatever. So I'd like you to go and get the names of those who do such work by their office, because you're not going to know which of the 17,000 different clerks this is going to be. You just want to know what offices are involved. And you can go online and get images and symbols, logos of these different department, whatever it may be. And then you're going to take and make a candle. And you're going to just use, I would use, a simple white vigil candle with no label on it, just a plain white candle. And I want you to put a picture of him and you and the children all together. If you have to cut them all apart and kind of make a composite picture, that's fine. Or do you have a picture of him with you and the children? Okay?
Yes.
So you have that. Now, underneath, I'm going to have you put the picture of the, whatever it is, Department of State or whatever it is that is in charge of making this release of the paperwork, and put that underneath, and so that you're like standing on it. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're all standing on top of it. And I want you to address that candle with the following things. I want you to use Little John to Chew powder, which is used for court cases and legal matters. I want you to use sumac berries because my sense of it is he needs to get in conformity here. 9 sumac berries is enough. And 9 sumac berries, little red berries, And then I'd like you to maybe use a little bit of tobacco. Or tobacco snuff, that's always good for court cases, maybe a little bit of calendula, but 3 things is enough, or you could use a little bit of fennel or something, but just any of those 3 that work for you, but definitely one should be Little John, court case root, definitely. And I'd like the sumac berries in there. Dress the candle with that, put a little bit of court case on it, and then I want you to take another image of the American flag, image of where you live, picture of your house. I want you to put that under the candle, so like he comes onto American soil. You see, and burn that candle. And when you burn that candle, I want you to light it. I want you to pray that he be allowed to come as soon as possible. That the roads be open. You can dress the candle with road opener oil if you like. If you want to, you can use a road opener candle and stick all these things on top of the label. We do that all the time. Okay? Then, if you can, when you've done that candle and burned that one, I want you to burn another and another. I want you to burn 3 of them in a row, maybe even 4, 5, 6 of them. I mean, it's going to take a little while here to open his roads. Go down to a crossroads. And a lot of people will do this. It's not exactly the best form, and it's not exactly so legal, but people will take their burnt-out carcasses of the candles and put them in the 4 corners of the crossroads. See what I mean? Just to say, I mark this crossroads, and this is, all the roads are open now. You'll see that a lot of times. Get up in the morning, and you'll find 4 candles at the 4 corners, on the curbs. So you can do that, okay? And another way that you can work this is if you have 1 candle burning in the center of an altar, you can make some road opener powder and draw little arrows pointing to that candle with road opener powder. Just make literally little arrows so that everything comes toward. And we can hope that will hasten and make this go faster and better. I do see that what they've said is delay, so I can't exactly promise you that this is going to be like breakthrough this thing completely. But there seems to be some way that you can probably hasten that a little bit, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I just
go ahead.
Just real briefly, can I just add reciting Psalm 78 for this particular working that Kat gave is really good, because Psalm 78 turns government officials and people in charge towards you in favor. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Go on, Kat.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Psalm 78, yeah, yeah. Because Psalm 78 is for to get officials to lean and incline your way. Very good idea. Thanks, Ali.
Okay.
And another thing that I would definitely be doing is, are you talking with him regularly or texting?
Yeah, we just talk to him regularly and we talk.
Uh-huh. Okay. When you talk to him, try to, if you can, like if you have a candle like this burning, touch the candle, you know, or do some of the work while you talk. I've had good success, for instance, while talking with someone. Remember I mentioned drawing a little sort of wiggly little arrow that goes, all four arrows coming together to, you know. You might actually be laying down some of these powders while you talk to him. And just be thinking in your head, you know, come on, the ways are opening, the roads are opening for you. The only problem... I'm sorry, say that again?
I said I was actually, since you were talking, you said about talking to him and, you know, touching the candle, I actually have a doll baby that I made with his personal concerns, but that was just too, much to cleanse him and uncross him and things like that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Work with the doll baby, too. That's very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
If the doll baby is made of something that is washable, you can use sumac berry tea. And John the Conqueror, Little John to Chew, Little John to Chew core case root in the tea. Those will boil up and make a nice tea. And tobacco is always good for long distance communication. It just has that way of being. So those things, and you can use that. I have a sense that you're going to be doing some patient work here, though. This is going to be, it'll happen, but it's going to be a little bit, you know. You just have to do some work here, okay?
Okay.
All righty, hon.
Thank you.
And I thank you. Yeah, thank you for calling, and I wish you all the best. I hope this turns out the way you want it to. All right, Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And a reminder to everyone before we get to our free spell section of the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, that every Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, join Conjurman Ali and Catherine Ironwood. We'll take live calls, give short readings, prescribe and describe authentic conjure spells, and provide listeners with the tools to achieve life's goals and overcome its challenges on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Now it's time to go ahead and go to our free spell brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour and our special guest from AIR this week, Dr. E of theconjuredoctor.com. in Los Angeles, California. Dr. E?
Thank you. Yes, as my favorite reconciliation spell today, I'm going to give you what I call the sugar bed spell. And in order to do the spell, you need to create two doll babies, one for you and one for your estranged lover. And you can make these out of cloth or you can make them out of clay. If they are clay, try to use something like a polymer clay that you can cook in the oven before you consecrate it in order to make it nice and firm. But in any case, I like to include in each doll baby either the hair of each individual or the blood of each individual or some of the sexual fluids of each individual. I like to place a lodestone in the heart of each doll baby as well as stuff it with some loving things like lavender flowers, rose petals, Damiana, maybe even some lovage root, okay? And what you do is you take both dolls and you consecrate them in such a way that you awaken them to life and connect them and baptize them with each individual, one for you and one for your estranged lover. And then what you do is you make like a little bed. Just get yourself like a little shoebox, and you're going to line it with pink fabric, red fabric, fabrics that are luxurious and beautiful, and you're going to fill it with sugar, good old-fashioned white sugar. Into that sugar, you're going to mix in some herbs for reconciliation. Things like Damiana, bohag root, rose petals, maybe even some cloves in order to repair the friendship between the two of you. And you're going to take the two doll babies and you're going to tie them together with a red ribbon. Now, as you do this, I like to pray the Song of Solomon, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. I like to pray that version of it. Or you can pray in your own words, to soften the heart, soften the mind, soften the loins of both you and your estranged lover, to draw you back together, to have the magnetic pull of the love that is within your heart pull toward one another. And then you take those two little tied dolls that are together say, may we forever be tied together in love and re-tied together from where we used to be. And then you nestle them in the bed. You literally put them in the bed and you cover them up with the sugar mixture so that the two dolls will be sweetened. They'll remember the sweetness of the love that you made with this individual, and they'll be drawn to be back in your bed. I'll even sometimes make a little sheet out of an extra piece of pink fabric and tuck them in bed with a little sheet. And what I do is I take it's really cute. You take the bed and you set it on your altar, and I like to burn a reconciliation candle at the head of the bed. And I say, like a sacred lighthouse, may my love call you back to harbor. May you return to me and be with me. May we rekindle the passion of the flame that we shared in our bed. May the flame that is within each of our hearts ignite each other and make our collective love be even more fiery and intense. And I let the candle burn all the way down. Sometimes I'll take the remnants of that wax and I'll bury it at the front door to draw that individual into your front door and back into your life. And then you take the little bed and you place it literally under your bed to bring your lover back to your home, back into your bed. And the deal is sealed when you finally make love with that individual again. And if you can capture some of their sexual fluid, then add that to the bed, that's great. And you can pull that bed out every once in a while and work the dolls and say, come back to bed, honey. I'm calling you home. Remember how sweet my skin feels. Remember how beautiful I smell. Come back to me and be with me and let us share our bed together again. So that's my favorite little spell to do. And you can work it over time. You can burn more candles at the head of it if you want to. You can take it out every once in a while, move those dolls around, move the sugar around a little bit, and work it as if you were talking to your lover and literally calling them back to your bed. That's my favorite reconciliation spell to do that I shared with you.
Wow. That's amazing.
I love it.
That's amazing.
Beautiful.
I'm going to add one thing. And if you live in Northern California, put the bed in an ant-proof container.
Put it in the Tupperware.
No, not the Tupperware. Not the Tupperware. No.
Yeah.
Tupperware to preserve love. I love it.
No, not the Tupperware. Something ant-proof that's beautiful. Please.
Yeah. Well, I got no problem. The bed is beautiful. The Tupperware is just the, you know, practical.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
This is a very beautiful spell. And Dr. E has an image of this on his air page, actually, that you guys can check out to get
it's on
a visual
page,
of it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I model my doll babies out of female clay, and I actually use pink clay to enhance the reconciliation work. And I'll grind herbs and knead it into the clay so the actual clay itself is made of reconciliation stuff.
Yeah, that's nice. I make mine out of wax and do the same thing. I use the
beeswax.
I use the red cheese wax that comes with the Bonbel cheeses, and then mix that with white or yellowish Bonbel to get a kind of a pinkish color, or just use the red Bonbel cheese wax. And same thing, I mix the herbs into the cheese wax and knead it as I go. And I love the two little lodestones at the heart. I also have been known for putting Queen Elizabeth root at the pussy and a little John the Conqueror root at the cock. Okay, so at the dick. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So there you go.
And don't forget to make them anatomically correct. People forget to make their doll babies anatomically correct. If you've got an anatomically correct baby for your ex, you can actually stroke their sexual organs and say, you know, your dick is tingling to come home to me. Now your pussy is wet with anticipation of being with me again. And you can actually work that as a real powerful connector to bring them back to.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you so much.
I love it.
All right. Let's give this on over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. And thank you, Dr. E of ConjureDoctor.com in Los Angeles, California. We invite you to tune in next week when our special guest, member from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, will be Kai Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com. And once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the shows are available in archive by luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. for all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Good night. Thank you so much. I want to thank you again, Dr. E. You've been a wonderful guest,
thank you.
As always.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on, guys. It was fun.
And,
always a blast, Dr. E.
Yeah, and remember, Dr. E is going to be with us at the May workshops, May 4th and 5th. For all of those of you who are planning to come to Forestville, he's going to be teaching a workshop in rustic oil lamps.
Be sure to sign up.
Yeah, sign up. And Ollie, thank you again for co-hosting, and you're going to be teaching a workshop on skull sorcery at the May 4th and 5th. And yours truly, I will be teaching a class in candle magic at the workshops and introducing my new book, okay? So we just want to thank everybody for coming out and helping with this show. Okay, good night.
Good night, everyone.